The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. The top topic is national security. Welcome to the program. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I was interviewed today by Politico and the young lady asked me, what is the number one political topic for you? And I said, national security. I said, this is an Obamacare-free zone. It's a boring topic. It doesn't work. It's socialized medicine. And the website doesn't work. And I don't want to talk about it. So she said, well, what do you talk about? I said, national security, national security, national security. If I do politics, you'll find that everything I'm interested in is about national security. And I'm interested in national security today. Because Obama's spying on all Americans, including all of us innocent Americans, is something we've never seen in America before, as we disclosed on the Savage Nation the other day, with the man who created the project at the NSA, who said we're living in a police state. Well, woke up this morning, found an article, an independent board declares the NSA data sweep illegal, and the program should be ended. I said, we won. We've had a victory. An independent board that was set up to review NSA surveillance, called today for the government to end its mass data collection program and purge its files, declaring that the program is illegal and a major challenge to President Obama. Well, guess what just happened? Are you ready for this? The spokesmouth for Obama, none other than the Stalinist spokesmouth, came out and said, we disagree with the board's analysis on the legality of the program, according to Press Secretary Jay Carney, who should be eternally damned for what he said today. This man would have been happy working for one of the dictators in the last century. White House just rejected a review board finding that the NSA data sweep is illegal. Do you have any idea the magnitude of this story? An independent review board of liberals and conservatives put together, the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board said the program ran afoul of the law on several fronts. They said the program implicates constitutional concerns under the First and Fourth Amendment. But of course, those in power, Republicans included, including Republicans on the spying committee, deeply want to keep this program because it gives them all the power that any madman could ever dream of. The report also rejected claims that the program was necessary to cover up a gap in intelligence arising from a failure to detect al-Qaeda members in the U.S. prior to September 11, 2001. I don't want to read you the whole report. The important thing for you to know is that I woke up this morning and I thought we had a victory. But then again, I said, this gang will never let go of its power because it's power mad. Board declared the NSA data sweep illegal. They said, terminate it. I wake up this afternoon just before the show. The White House says we reject the review board finding that the NSA data sweep is illegal. There is nothing illegal that this administration does that they consider to be illegal. They believe they are the law. They believe they are a law unto themselves. And so we the people have a problem. When an unbiased analysis says that they've stepped over the line, they violated our constitutional rights, dismember this spying program, and the president says drop dead, what are we supposed to do? Tell me what we're supposed to do. Because I believe that we are now in a crisis unlike any I've ever seen. The phone number is 855-407-282. There are many, many other stories. This is just one of them. I have many others that I'm not going to get to all in the first sentence just to attract your attention. It's a long program. I require a little bit of investment of your time. And as you know, I'm capable of versatility, and I can go off on a tangent at any time and play the sax for your entertainment, but I need to have a theme. The theme for me is national security. Now, when you see power-mad individuals like Obama refusing to even acknowledge the findings of an independent commission, that means he can do anything at any time, as he has been doing. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about this story in another manner. Certain conservative radio and TV hosts who are frauds through and through are playing for the other side. One of these so-called media darlings of the right will attend the State of the Union address in order to get close to the president. The other, Bill O'Reilly, will air an interview with President Obama right before the Super Bowl. We know O'Reilly was sold down the river a long time ago. It will be this particular media darling's third interview with the president while still pretending that he's a, let's say, a spokesman for the average American. I, Michael Savage, am not going to be at the Super Bowl. I will not be at the White House. I will not be at the State of the Union address. I find them extremely boring, number one. What's the point of being there? Why? Why am I not going to be there? Because I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. I am the only person in the media who calls the government media complex out for what it is. I may be the only true independent on the media landscape. I refuse to be used as a propaganda tool for the left or for the right. Now, some on the conservative side continue to throw mud my way. They continue to use slanders that were created by Media Matters as though... This is the most astonishing thing I'm going to tell you. Media Matters, which is allegedly the most vile organization in American history, funded by Soros, makes things up about people and then smears them, mainly conservatives. We know that. Would you believe that one of the fake conservatives would take the lies of Media Matters and then sling that mud at me again when it was all false to begin with? What does that tell you about that individual? Does he have any credibility left? No. So why are they doing this? Because they're afraid of me. They're afraid of competing with me. They know they can't compete with me on an equal playing field. And the fact of the matter is, unlike others in the media who make outrageous statements for a headline on Drudge and then immediately walk back their comments the next day, blaming both family and colleagues alike, I, Michael Savage, am not for sale. My opinions are my own, not bought and paid for by either political party. Some take their lessons from Lord Haw-Haw. I take mine from Lord Acton. And that's why I say give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And that's it. That's what I wanted to say to you today. Now you can all go home. That will not be on your midterm exam. I can ask you some questions, and I will. How do you feel about the White House rejecting a review board finding that the NSA data sweep is illegal? What does that tell you about Obama? Duh. How about everything you ever knew about him but were afraid to say, which is that he's a petty dictator? There's much more coming up. Bill on WMAL in Washington is the first to call. Bill, thank you for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I think that one of the really positive things that's coming out of this illegality is the fact that we're going to learn how to deal with it and not use the phones and internet, et cetera, for important content.
Absolutely. What we've got to do is what organized criminals have done since time immemorial. You know, if you watch movies, gangster movies, which I'm a fan of, they all would either walk with a toothpick in their mouth and put the hand over the side of the mouth while talking with each other because they were under surveillance, right? They would never, ever talk on a telephone. They would never put anything in writing that could incriminate them. So, in other words, under Obama, we have all become criminals. Obama has made the average man and woman in America a criminal. Do you know that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This man is so demonic that he's criminalized the average American into thinking that they have to hide their conversations. Think about the impact that he's had on free speech. This one demonic madman has had such an impact on the average American that everyone's afraid to send an email or have a phone conversation because they know they're being bugged by these throwback creeps who should be arrested in the NSA. I, by the way, when I have a phone conversation and someone says to me, oh, be careful, don't say this or that, I say, you know what, whoever's listening to me on the NSA, you should drop dead. One day you're going to go to jail for what you did. One day your name will be published and you'll be put in prison for what you did to we Americans. One day, you creep, I don't care if you went to Harvard or Bryn Mawr, you're a throwback, you belong in the Soviet Union, you should rot in a jail cell if you work for the NSA. That's what I say on the phone. How do you like that?
Well, you know, Dr. Savage, my dad, who's now passed away, would be about 95. He used to say that there were key words, and I thought he was a conspiracy theorist when he talked about the fact that the government could monitor. But he was 20 years ahead of his time, and he was right.
Well, we had an interview the other day on the show, which is the best I've done in years, from a gentleman who actually created the NSA spying program. He had 32 years with the NSA. He wrote the program, and he said it became a mild police state under Bush, but it became basically a major police state under Obama.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the thing is, why do the liberals say I've got nothing to hide, so why should I care? That's the wrong attitude, isn't it? That's like saying if a peeping Tom is peeping through your bedroom window, but he's got a government badge on it. It's okay because you got nothing to hide. Is that the kind of world you want to live in? They're nothing more than low-life, degenerate peeping Toms. And the answer is to make believe that you're in the mafia. Make believe that you're a gangster. Make believe that you're in a movie. Make believe you're in The Sopranos. Make believe you're in The Godfather. Behave the way Big Chin Gigante did. Put on a bathrobe, walk down the street, put a toothpick in your mouth, and when you're holding a conversation about anything, make sure there's a hand over the side of your mouth. Is that the kind of America you want to live in? Well, guess what? That's the kind of America Obama has created. In 5 or 6 short years, the man has debased the entire Constitution. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
We simply disagree with the board's analysis on the legality of the program. Consistent with the recent holdings of the United States District Courts for the Southern District of New York and the Southern District of California, as well as the finding of 15 judges of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
All right, so the judges that they own agree that spying is good. The independent panel says spying is bad. The American people say spying is unconstitutional, and they want to spit in the face of these sneaks who listen to every phone conversation. Now, let me be clear about it. They don't actually listen to every phone conversation, nor do they actually read every email. It's impossible. A computer does that with the help of Google and phone companies. And those are then analyzed by computer and then sent on to the sneaks from Harvard, NYU, Princeton, Berkeley, any of the low-life colleges in America where they brainwash children into thinking that, you know, anything is worth a buck, who have no consciousness whatsoever about what they're doing. They're spying on you. So the independent board says, end it. It's illegal. The president sends out his spokesmouth, Carney, who should be in prison for this when there's a people's tribunal years from now. There should be a people's tribunal after this administration is through. And people like Carney, who should never, ever, have ever gotten up and become the Lenny Riefenstahl for Obama, gets up there and says, we reject the review board finding. It is legal. Frank on WABC, how do you feel today listening to all of this?
Mike, you're so right. It seems to me that I open up every conversation with a stranger, with family, with belligerency. But I'm speaking the truth. I'm saying what I believe is right. You can't talk about speaking with a cigarette in your mouth, with a twist in your face. This is how it's come to Americanize, to get your point across.
Yeah, I understand. But, Frank, listen to what I'm saying. This government has made the average American into a criminal, where anyone with a brain knows they're being spied on and they watch what they're saying. They have killed free speech in the country. More than that, they're making everyone act like criminals, in that everyone's guarded now and hides what they really want to say. Even though it's purely innocent, Frank. That's my point. Obama has killed the United States' Constitution single-handedly.
I agree with you, sir.
I mean, how much can I not talk about this?
Yeah. Mike, last...
How much can I talk? You want me to talk about my dog and meatballs? I can do that, too, but I'm not in the mood today. When I see an independent board comes out and says, the spying is illegal, end it, and a few hours later, the Godfather comes out and sends out his mouthpiece to say, guess what? We reject the review board. We're going to continue to spy. What country are you living in? Tell me what country you're living in, and if you want to live in that country. Why should the average American be turned into a criminal? Why? Okay, 855-407-282. I'm not going to burn myself up over this. We have, in essence, the terrorists have won. The terrorists have won by putting an overt socialist administration in power. It doesn't matter whether Obama walks around with a red beret and has a picture of Lenin on his wall. What are you, stupid? All his policies are socialist slash Leninist. And I'll prove it to you shortly. I'll prove it to you policy by policy. I try to do it with trickle-down tyranny, but apparently it was too much information for the average sports fan out there. But I'll prove it to you in a short version later on in the Savage Nation. Little by little, you'll come to understand that if you read Lenin's own words, you'll see that what we're living through right now is right out of Lenin's words themselves. Shall I read some of them to you? I will later on. I'll tell you what Joseph Stalin said, line by line, and you'll see if we're living through some of the Stalinist regime's worst behaviors, which we're not. We're only in the early stages of some of Stalin's worst behaviors. It starts with a police state that scares everyone into submission. It starts by cowing an entire population. Then once you've got them penned in a corral with fear, then you pick them off one by one for special treatment. That's how a dictatorship emerges. It does not happen overnight. It happens step by step and stage by stage, which is why the independent board tasked with reviewing National Security Agency surveillance today called for the government to end its mass data collection program and purge the files of all the information. They said the program's illegal and a major challenge to President Obama. So what did Obama say? Well, last Friday, he said he's going to end government control of phone data. But today, his spokesmouth came out and said, no, we're not going to end it. We like it. It's legal. We enjoy spying on you. We enjoy controlling you. And you can go to hell, basically. I'm boiling it down. They didn't use those words. No one does, except talk show hosts. So these extreme this extreme situation that we find ourselves in is the biggest crisis that I've seen occur in the Obama administration. Why? First of all, there's a silver lining to this. The whole left has turned on him over this. The left wing has turned on him. Now, the right wing has turned on him a long time ago because they knew who he was. Anyone who knew Franklin Marshall Davis and knew his background knew what we were going to get. They knew what we were going to get. What, do you think was stupid? We didn't know who he was? The mystery man appears, a senator for a brief period, now all of a sudden the Manchurian candidate is thrown in there and he's president? What did you expect was going to happen? Something good was going to come of it? He was going to save the elephants? He was going to save the whales and save the earth from global warming? Now you find out that the whole left has turned on him. They woke up to who they put in their Frankenstein. The Frankenstein that they created is now spying on them, and they know it. How do you feel about it is the question. Left, right, or center? 855-47282. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you the real America. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
There's no bigger issue. There is no bigger issue out there. I'm not interested in some punk pop star who made a fool of himself for publicity in a car that he rented. I'm not interested in Christie's bridge closing. I am telling you that Spygate is the biggest scandal of your lifetime. And I want you to go back in time. Nixon had to leave the presidency for having authorized the spying on only a few individuals in the opposition party. I want you to put this in context. A president was brought down for Watergate. Watergate was nothing compared to what Obama's doing in this country. Nothing. The difference is we have no media to hold the president accountable for the Frankenstein that he has become. He went on last Friday, gave a speech to the president saying he was going to end it. He himself said it. He himself came up because he knows what trouble he's in with his own base. Just remember something. The left fears spying more than the conservatives do because they've got much more to hide. And so they don't want anyone looking into their private lives or their private phone conversations, and rightly so. We live in a free country. If you want to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to do. As long as it's not illegal and you're not hurting children, fine, do it. It's your business. I agree with them. And I'm a sexual libertarian at that, and I've told you that. Don't try to paint me into a corner of what I'm not. Fais ce que voudra. I'm like Rabelais. Just leave the children alone. It's as simple as that. Now, the privacy is the issue here. Civil liberties are the issue here. And the individual task force that was assigned to look into the spying that the NSA has been engaging in released it this afternoon. And they said the program is illegal on several fronts and it should be ended. Ended! Within hours, the Obama administration fires back and says, we disagree, we're going to keep it. So where do you think that puts Obama? Last Friday he said he would end it. Now he's saying he won't end it. So as you well know, a sophist says whatever he has to say in order to get his way, and then he goes on his merry way, and then we're left with the rest. The Spygate is the biggest story of your lifetime. There's nothing bigger. If we lived in a legitimate government, he would resign. Do you know that? Do you know that if, let's say many of you liberals always look to Europe as a model for reasons I don't understand. You think it's so sophisticated, I guess. I suppose you like their cheese and their wine and the free the inexpensive prostitution in the windows. I suppose that's what you consider the model. So you'd like us to be more like Europe. Do you realize that if a leader of a European nation was engaged in a scandal as vast as Spygate, the government would fall the next day and there'd be new elections? Do you realize that? There'd be calls for his resignation. So why don't you be European about it and recognize what's going on in your own country, I ask myself over and over again. The answer is there's no media here. None. It's gone. By and large, there's no media. The fourth estate is gone. It's become the fifth column. How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? We lost the country when the fourth estate became the fifth column. I will tell you that this independent council, which is what it is, it's an independent board. It was pretty quick, by the way. I'm very surprised. They said end it. But even Republicans are defending the NSA, and they're attacking the report. Mike Rogers, Republican in Michigan, defender of the NSA, said he's disappointed that they say we should end it. So don't think it's just a partisan thing where only Democrat liberals want to keep the program going. Lord Acton, not Lord Haw-Haw. I'm a follower of Lord Acton. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. I dedicated a novel to that title, Abuse of Power, Jack Hatfield. Many of you read the novel. I'm working on the third novel in the series right now. It's exhausting me. Second novel was A Time for War, for the new listeners who don't know what I've done. But Abuse of Power was a thriller that was a bestseller just two years ago. Big book, fabulous book, New York Times best-selling book. You wouldn't know it because the liberals have made believe I don't exist, as they used to do in the Soviet Union. But I knock out one bestseller after another. How is that possible? I guess people read my books. I guess they don't care what the liberal media says. So the point is, I know what's going on. I've tried to alert you, both through fiction and nonfiction, and through my radio broadcasts. What do I do this show for? I even ask myself that every morning and every evening. I don't know whether it's healthy or not. I ask myself, why am I in this business at this stage of my life? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it solely for the financial gains? The answer is absolutely and totally not. No. Number two, why am I doing it then? For the acclaim and the fame? Yes. As Paul said, all is vanity. So I have to admit, I'm a human being. There's a tremendous amount of vanity tied in with being a major figure in the media. But that's not the real reason. That's not the motivating reason. I could live without the vanity. I've had enough of it. I don't need it anymore. I don't need to make a bigger fool of myself than I already have in some regard. I could also withdraw and never be heard from again. But there's another reason that you know, pushes me. And that's a day like today. A day like today, you have to understand how important this show really is. Spygate would normally force a president to come out and say, I can no longer sustain this office. I no longer have the support of the people. I'm ashamed for what my own government has done, and I'm stepping down. That's what would happen in a sane country. Do you think that will happen tomorrow? No. You're going to hear more PR, more of a spin, and more entertainment and sports than you ever heard before. Beware the government media complex. The time is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to a program called The Savage Nation. Let's go to Ron in Jacksonville, Florida on WBOB. Ron, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You know, I view myself and I view you as part of a counterinsurgency, because we have to admit, if Obama is not a soft dictator, he's a dictator nevertheless, and what he did and what he said, he's become totally lawless, and the government is totally lawless. And I'm not talking about any kind of a violent reaction. I'm talking about sabotaging the saboteurs. Our country has been infiltrated by saboteurs from the far left and also from the Muslim Brotherhood to destroy us from within. So we have to frustrate their plans. We have to.
No, you're 100% right. So how do you frustrate their plans other than first by alerting the people to what's actually going on?
You take their playbook and you use it against them.
Okay, tell us your idea. Go ahead. What's your idea?
Okay. Well, like, for example, you know how the left always have front groups that have very not patriotic, but neutral names like Think Progress and Americans for a Better Future.
Oh, yes, the stuff that George Soros, the power mad maniac, creates, yes.
Yeah, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of philanthropic groups that are just front groups for the far left. We kind of have to do that. If you look at the way World War II was won, it was won by a massive disinformation campaign. I mean, it was brilliant the way it was planned.
Ron, listen, theoretically, you are correct, but I can cut to the chase and do it even more quickly. You want to hear what I would do to stop the NSA?
Sure.
I'll put it out on the air right now. The findings of the review board can be used as leverage in federal lawsuits against NSA spying. Why? Because the report concluded that the NSA collection raises constitutional concerns with the U.S. citizens' right of speech, association, and privacy. The findings in this from this panel, no matter what the administration says, can be used as leverage in federal lawsuits against NSA spying. The thing to do here is to fund a million federal lawsuits against the Obama administration and against the NSA. 1 million lawsuits would be the end of this.
Yeah, that would tie them up, absolutely.
That would tie them up. It would end it. 1 million lawsuits would end this overnight. Now, we're not saying that we don't want them to spy on those who might harm us, but they're not spying on them, are they? Why are they directing it at the average American, the nun from Minneapolis, the grandmother who was frisked at the airport, and they let the Muslims sweep right through? We know that's a fact. The Muslim Brotherhood itself was given priority clearance. We reported on that the other day. So if they were to direct their intelligence at those who might actually harm us, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But they didn't. Look at the Boston Marathon bombing. The Tsarnoff brothers were in their sight, yet they let them bomb. Why is that? Can you figure that one out?
Set up. Sure.
I don't know. Why did they let the Muslims... Tsarnoff brothers, who were plotting this, they claim that they were following them. Why did they let them set off the bombs? Who were those men with those black backpacks in the video that's been swept under the rug? Who were they with antennas in their ears? Do you remember that? Do you remember the video of the bombing, which has been disappeared from the media? Everyone's forgotten it. They've gone on to the next game.
Exactly. Exactly. They sweep anything involving Muslim and terrorism under the rug. And, you know, they're still looking for a motive as to why Major Nassan Hidal went on his jihad.
Why has Major Nidal Hassan not been executed? He committed these murders in 2009. Who's protecting him? Who in the Justice Department is protecting Nidal Hassan? Who are they answering to? Why has this man not been found guilty and executed? Who has been delaying this trial and why? We don't have answers, do we? But we have the questions, and that's all we have. Are the questions, not the answers. Because if we had a legitimate opposition party, they would be the ones holding the hearings and they'd get to the bottom of it, and they would demand that there be changes right now to the NSA program. Where is Boehner? Where is one Republican saying stop the spying on the American people? Okay, you got the picture. Let's take the next call. Debbie on WMAL. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I absolutely love your show. Great stuff. One of my colleagues had a brilliant idea. He may have seen it as a stand-up routine, but his idea was that we should fill any conversation or any email that we have with all of the buzzwords that the computer, that the NSA is looking for, so that there's so much clutter, they'll never be able to separate it.
Debbie, I'll tell you why I oppose that. I'll tell you why I oppose it, because Al-Qaeda would love that more than anyone else. If you overwhelm the NSA to the point where they couldn't do their job at all, you would be defeating the purpose of the NSA, the reason it was created. I didn't say assault the NSA and destroy it. I said stop the spying on innocent Americans. That's quite a different thing, Debbie.
That makes sense.
You're breaking up. I'm sorry. See, I don't agree we should flood the NSA, flood our conversations with keywords that they're looking for so the computers fry. No. The object here is to understand the bigger picture. The NSA has a fabulous role to play, and they must play that role, but they must direct their inquiries to those who would actually harm us rather than we, the people who are innocent. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The folks at NSA and other intelligence agencies are our neighbors. They're our friends and family. Mm. They've got electronic bank and medical records like everybody else. Mm. They have kids on Facebook and Instagram. And they know more than most of us.
Now you understand what sophistry is. The president is the leading exemplar of sophistry when he tells us that the folks at the NSA who are spying on us illegally, immorally, are our friends and neighbors. It not only begs the truth, but it's embarrassing to listen to. After all, it was Russians who spied and killed Russians during Stalin's purges. After all, it was Germans who spied on other Germans and killed them during Hitler's times. After all, it was Cambodians who spied on their friends and neighbors who sent them to their death camps. Shall I go down the list? After all, it's North Koreans who were torturing and murdering fellow North Koreans. It's their friends and neighbors who turned them in. Don't you understand what's going on right in front of your eyes? I want to take a break from this in a minute. I can't even take a break. It's so intense. Let's take a quick call. Peter, I don't know what South means, but Peter, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, it's a privilege to talk to you. I'm so glad you're in the slot instead of Hannity, by the way.
Well, that's music to my ears, of course. Where are you calling from, Peter?
Said, thank you for putting Savage on. Hannity's like a broken record. Yeah, I'm basically, you know, on the left, liberal traditionally throughout my life, but watching this Obama administration has really opened my eyes. Let me say a few things real quickly for my liberal friends out there, so to speak. You know, if Bush was doing this stuff, people would be out in the streets. I was in the anti-Iraq war protest. I was in the Occupy movement. And all of a sudden, when Obama does this stuff, you know, where's Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart? They're joking about it like it's a big thing.
Because they're nothing but mouthpieces. They don't even write their own scripts. They read teleprompters. They're fictions.
Let me put something else in here for your educated listeners. Look, free speech, and I know you probably agree with me, free speech means that you can say anything you want and there's no consequences. In Saddam Hussein's Iraq, you had free speech. You go out and say anything you want, but then they came and drug you off and cut you up in little pieces. I mean, there was consequences. You could say anything you wanted, but they were...
But Peter, that's exactly my point. In other words, it starts with the spying. And then the next step is gathering those that they're spying on that they don't like or approve of. The next step, et cetera, and so forth. This is the road to hell. That's what I'm trying to get at, Peter. Thank you for listening. I have such little time to develop an idea, but I want to do it right now. And I'm going to shift now to evolution. If you look at the record that's told in the rocks of the earth, you know, rocks, the record of the rocks, what you see is a changing in the climate and the wiping out of an entire period of time called the Mesozoic. And then there's nothing on the earth for several million years. The weather changed. Something happened. The age of reptiles ended. The dinosaurs ended. The ichthyosaurs ended. And the innumerable genera and species in that period all disappeared. The great variety of that age disappeared because of a drastic climatic change. The cold killed them. They were living in a warm phase. A giant jungle. The earth was a giant jungle. They had great vegetation, which created great life in the form of other animals they could eat, or they could eat the vegetation. The cold killed them. And although there was great variety in those animals, it didn't work because the animals never had to face such survival demands, and they died. And then the world passes through a period of extreme conditions, and the animals die. All that lived in the Mesozoic disappeared. And what happened? Well, something followed it millions of years later. And it was a new and hardier flora, a new and hardier fauna that possessed the world. And it started all over again with the cycads and the tropical conifers. And then the trees followed the cycads and the conifers. And what am I telling you about? Why am I trying to tell you something here? I'm telling you that your way of life has come to an end under Obama. The man is like a gigantic glacial sheet that has emerged to cloak our Constitution itself. The man is like a gigantic glacier that has appeared out of nowhere, that is wiping out life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness right in your lifetime. Whether you are a liberal or a conservative, you understand what I'm saying to you, don't you? The spying scandal, Spygate, it's all about that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, the big story of the day is Spygate. An independent committee was set out to investigate Spygate, and they said, it's illegal. End it. It's unconstitutional. End it. The findings of this committee is that federal lawsuits can be waged against the NSA for spying on ordinary citizens who've committed no crimes. Within hours, the White House comes out and it says, we reject that view. We like the NSA data sweep, and we're going to keep it. According to White House Press Secretary Jay Carney Barker. Do we have Jay Carney Barker speaking at all? Yes, we do. Play Jay Carney Barker so they know what I'm talking about on the show right now.
We simply disagree with the board's analysis on the legality of the program. Consistent with the recent holdings of the United States District Courts for the Southern District of New York and Southern District of California.
Right, so they're going back to basics. They're going back to their original position, which is they have the right to spy on innocent people. Now, that's despite the fact that the independent review board, both liberals and conservatives, came out with a scathing attack saying that the NSA's spying on you, moron. Listen, no matter, even if you're stupid listening to this show, even if you can't comprehend anything about anything, and you're only listening to me to try to bash me because you're too stupid to understand that I'm actually on your side, they're spying on you as well. And the review board said it's illegal. It should be ended. Yet the administration said drop dead to the review board today. Now, this follows Obama giving a mea culpa last Friday, pretending he was actually going to end the program. We knew what he was just, you know, responding to the fact that the whole left has pulled their support out from under him. And Democrats are now bailing from the sinking ship. And so he tried to shore up the support of the ignorant and the uneducated out there. And I suppose many of them went for the bait. And now today we find out they don't intend to stop spying on us. Watergate. President Nixon was forced to resign because of Watergate. What was Watergate? Spying on a few Democrats. A few. Well, here you have a president spying on hundreds of millions of us. That's not the same thing. Why? Well, this has a higher purpose. Higher purpose is to keep us safe. Nixon had no higher purpose, and he was a Republican, and he was a white male. So therefore, his spying was bad, and Obama's is good. You get how that works? You understand the danger you're in? If you care to comment on this, I welcome your calls, 855-400-7282. There's so much other news I haven't even touched, from snow removal that wasn't in New York, under the Sandinista who runs New York now, where he didn't plow certain streets because there were neighborhoods that didn't vote for him. This is amazing to me. This is truly amazing. John Kerry speaking out to starting a bigger war in Syria, wanting to remove Assad from power, knowing full well Russia will not tolerate that, and it could only lead to let's say, a confrontation with Russia. You have to eclipse three because Kerry is getting, as power mad as Obama may be, Kerry may be in a class by himself. Listen to clip three.
You cannot have peace. You cannot have stability. You cannot restore Syria. You cannot save Syria from disintegration as long as Bashar Assad remains in power.
So what is he asking for, a war? What does he want, a war against Syria? Does he want bombs away? Is that what old Kerry wants? The anti-war Vietnam-era swift boat guy? I mean, he just swift boated himself. He's given up his entire position as a peace-loving man. He wants more war. And then I don't think they're going to leave so fast just because Kerry says they should leave. Listen to a spokesman for Assad in clip four. No, I guess that's too quick.
Does John Kerry say to Bashar Assad, you can't save Syria, you can't stay in Syria? Can we do that to your democratic country, ask your president not to be there and not to save his country and not to be in power? Is it John Kerry who should say that? Or is it up to the Syrian people to decide who should be their president?
Yeah, I think it should be up to the Syrian people, by the way. I don't think we have a very fine democracy here anymore with the spying scandal. And then the shock to those of you who bought Obama's lie that they did a deal with Iran where they said that they were going to take down their nuclear centrifuges. They said we did not agree to anything. Nothing. Listen to clip six. It's amazing to me.
The White House version both underplays the concessions and overplays Iranian commitments. And I'm not interested in that. I'm simply saying, why don't we all stick to what we agreed? Why do we need to produce different texts?
So in other words, Obama and his minions lied to us about the deal with Iran. It's as we thought. Iran has no pressure on them to give up their march towards an atomic weapon. The sanctions were lifted anyway because of internal pressure from some within the White House with the name Valerie Jarrett, some think, who has ties with Iran and not the best part of Iran, according to some who've studied the issue. And yet Iran itself says we did not agree to dismantle anything. Listen to clip seven.
The terminology is different. The White House tries to portray it as basically a dismantling of Iran's nuclear program. That is the word that they use time and again. And I urge you to read the entire text. If you find a single word that even closely resembles dismantling or could be defined as dismantling in the entire text, then I would take back my comment.
Yeah, well, he said no. And finally now, the next clip, listen to what he said. It's very important you hear this. It's a big deal.
What the text, what Iran has agreed, is not to enrich above 5%. We did not agree to dismantle anything.
Yet Kerry said they agreed to dismantle. Carney said they agreed to dismantle. Obama said they agreed to dismantle. So they lied to us about their deal with Iran. They're lying to us about the NSA spying scandal. What are they telling us that is true? Can anyone answer that? Can anyone answer what they tell? What Obama has said that's true recently? Let's take some calls, though, on the Savage. We have an interesting guest at the bottom of the hour. I don't do a lot of guests. That's something that Harvey does. And I don't do it because I generally like to give you my views. I think that's what you want to hear. But I find somebody special. I have the man who actually is the chief animator for Industrial Light and Magic, who created the dinosaurs, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex, I believe, in the original movies way back when. I mean, they're amazing movies. You have to understand what I'm talking about and why we're doing it. He was the chief animator for Industrial Light and Magic, and, you know, which is a part of Lucasfilm. And he developed software that was used to create these creatures for Jurassic Park. He is still one of the leading animators in the world. And by the way, the software that was used way back in the 80s for this movie was somewhat related to weapons design and simulation. We'll find out which came first on the Savage Nation. It's all interrelated. Genius is genius. Now let's take some calls. WJR, Detroit. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, hi. Thank you, Dr. Savage, for having me. And whatever Obama was for or against, I was for. When he was against Tea Party, I gave some money and joined the Tea Party. I joined the NRA just because that's what he didn't want me to do.
Right.
I just received a phone call about 2 days ago, and the lady said she wanted me to give money so that the Tea Party could defeat John Boehner. I said, you've got to be kidding me. You want money to defeat John Boehner? I said, in other words, you're fighting Boehner and the Republicans. Republicans are fighting the Tea Party, and the Democrats are winning the elections.
Absolutely. What it is, it's an internecine warfare that the Democrats are behind. Now, whether or not they're directly involved with this wing of the Tea Party, I don't know, but they may as well be. This Tea Party wing that's going after Boehner. Look, we all know Boehner is a middle-of-the-road useless idiot We understand that. But to spend time fighting him instead of fighting the enemy themselves is not only counterproductive, it's politically stupid.
Well, I asked her a question. I said, if you look back in history, over the last 20 years, we've had recessions every 10 years. Kennedy had one. Reagan got Carter's, and so forth. What did they do to stop it? They lowered taxes and lowered expenses, payments. And what did we do to keep these going longer? The average recession was 1.5.
So what did you tell them to do, to go fly a kite? You're not paying, you're not giving the Tea Party money to defeat Boehner because it's politically idiotic?
Well, yeah, because they have so...
All right, well, I agree with you. You made your point. They don't even understand they may as well be working for the Democrat Party when they do that. Let's go to WABC in New York. Don, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Great show. Listen, I find this disturbing that during the breaks when I listen to WABC, I hear about how the FBI has time to go and walk in lockstep with the Democrats here in New Jersey and the press and the Goebbels press. And what annoys me is they have time to investigate this hack mayor out of Hackensack. But they don't have time to investigate the IRS, okay, and what the Fed is doing to conservative groups across, even in Hollywood. They don't have time to investigate.
The FBI has become a police arm of the Obama administration. It has lost its independence. It's no longer an independent police body. It is, in essence, a private police organization run by the Democrat machine to attack political enemies such as Christie. And that is frightening. The FBI was always supposed to be a separate agency, above any scandal, above partisan politics. Under Obama, it's been turned into his private police force.
Have a great day.
Okay. That should make me some new friends. From Pope Francis to the White House, we have a war against those of us who work for a living and want to provide a better life for ourselves and our families. Every one of them, whether it be Obama or the Pope or the mayor of New York, attacks us for making a living and tells us that those of us who have higher aspirations are somehow evil and against the poor. Yet it is we who pay the taxes that support the poor. And so the Pope himself is now fueling class warfare. He says that the powerful feed on the powerless in a free market economy. He then says those who engage in the market become incapable of feeling compassion at the outcry of the poor. This is unadulterated Marxism. You can call it anything you want. The Pope is attacking prosperity. It is a typical speech of a leftist college professor. It is the attitude of the uber-rich in Europe. Or, shall I say, amongst academics or clergymen who have never worked a day in their lives to earn their own living, to provide a better life for themselves or their families. This is a shocking thing to witness in our own lifetime. The church has traditionally fought against socialism. Unfortunately, this ex-bartender pope now fights against aspiration. In his new Evangelii Gaudium, he says that ethics are viewed with derision in a free market economy, and that, quote, the thirst for power and possessions knows no limits. He then says behind this attitude lurks a rejection of ethics and a rejection of God. This is right out of Lenin. This is right out of Marx. This is shocking to believe that the Catholic Church itself has been taken over by a man who lived in a period in South America when this rhetoric was espoused by hardline socialists slash Marxists. I don't know how a decent Catholic cannot understand there's been a revolution in their own church. This is very worrisome. There's a war against the workers of the world. It's not about workers of the world unite. It's about taxpayers of the world. You better unite. Because he's attacking the free market. He wants a controlled market. And when he was asked if he's a Marxist, he denied it. But then he said he knows good Marxists. Does he know any good capitalists? Or are they all godless? Do they all hate the poor? I think that the liberalism or socialism expressed by the new pope is something you better pay careful attention to. And by the way, if the Vatican is so concerned about the starving masses of the world, there is a mild cure that can be induced quite rapidly. They can go into the Vatican basement and sell off some of their great art and give the proceeds to the poor of Asia. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Back in the 70s, they told you never to talk about it. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
I don't want to beat this to death. I made my point. An independent panel comes out and says the NSA data sweep is illegal. It should be ended. Within an hour or two, the Obama administration comes out and says, we disagree. We're going to keep the program. It's legal. Now, this is a scathing report from the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. And yet, Republicans and Democrats who are used to this absolute power, like Dianne Feinstein, love it. They like spying on you. They like knowing who you're calling and what you're saying. I wonder, though, is Dianne Feinstein and her husband, Richard Blum, are they immune from the spying? I just wonder. I just don't know. Are senators and congressmen not subject to the NSA spying? They're not subject to drug tests. They don't have to pee in a cup to keep their job. In other words, every 3 months they should report a drug test to we the people to find out what they're on. Maybe there's a cocktail of drugs that explains their lunacy. We don't know. Maybe there isn't. Maybe they're perfectly clean and sober. You have to do it if you take a job. So they're immune from drug testing. And are they immune from spying? Does the NSA spy on senators on the Intelligence Committee? They shouldn't, by the way, or should they? Well, they did in Stalin's time. They spied on generals in Stalin's time, which is why there were purges. You're having the purge of generals in the United States of America, but you don't know it. Oh, yeah, the top generals are being dismissed like grass being cut down by a scythe. Just 2 weeks ago, he dismissed 34 officers inside our nuclear silos on trumped-up charges. The week before, they fired the general in charge of our nuclear arsenals, saying he got drunk in Moscow on his day off. A few months before that, they fired a general who they said was gambling in a casino and stole a chip. And right after Benghazi Gate, remember that little incident? Five generals were fired within 4 weeks. Generals who could have testified that they were ready, willing, and able to defend our ambassador and the brave men who died there holding down the fort. They were all dismissed, thrown out of the military. So there's a purge going on. Spygate. Nixon spied on only a few. He resigned. Obama spies on tens of millions. And he surfs. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
It's 34 minutes after the hour you're listening to the Savage Nation. We've been talking about the death of the Constitution under this glacial administration that is like an ice age falling upon our freedoms. And I then jumped from the spying scandal to the end of the Mesozoic era and the death of the dinosaurs to try to put things in context. In other words, the dinosaurs lasted for, what, 80 million years? Or the Mesozoic did anyway? And then all of a sudden it ends. Let's say several million years, and then it ended. Why? There was suddenly an ice age. We are losing our freedoms in an ice age of man's making, and Obama's that man. He's like an ice age on our Constitution. I realize that this is too big a jump for the average radio listener, and so we're going to move into something more entertaining, which is animation. I have with us a friend of mine, Steve Williams. He was the chief animator for Industrial Light and Magic, which was a division, I think, of Lucasfilm from 88 to 98, but most importantly, he developed the Tyrannosaurus Rex figure using graphics for Jurassic Park. Anyway, he joins us now. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
So, Steve, how in the world did you go from whatever you were doing to developing a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah, it's quite a jump. I was working at a military shop on the East Coast, and we had a certain type of software for developing weapon simulation and design. And so the call came down around 1988. I got a call and from my guy came in and said, there's a shop in California, and they're looking for someone who knows how to run this piece of software because they're working on a special secret Navy film.
Hmm.
So I went down with it and in October 88, and the movie was The Abyss. So ended up building and animating this creature we called the pseudopod, myself and a couple other guys, and it was set 18 scenes, 72 seconds, and it took us about a half a year to do.
Wow.
Ended up being
so your first foray into Hollywood,
yeah,
was with The Abyss?
Yes, exactly.
Isn't this the 20th year of Jurassic Park? Isn't that what this is about?
Anniversary. I mean, you know, we did The Abyss and Terminator 2. That was successful, the Chrome guy. And then, you know, we were kind of cocky back then. We said, well, you know, we're going to do, we've never done a living, breathing creature before. We've done water and we've done Chrome, but we've never done something living, breathing. And originally the entire movie was supposed to be stop motion and go motion, the rubber prosthetics. And I think I can build this thing in Data. So I kind of secretly built it and had it on.
Oh, so you built it out of Data.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So instead of manufacturing out of three-dimensional objects, you created it by computers, yes?
Exactly. Well, what happened was that we first did a bone test, and that's what we did for, I built a bone test for the T-Rex, and we did a bone test for the T-1000 to convince the directors. I mean, seeing is believing, you know. And it was one thing to do the bone test. It was another thing to actually build the physical Data and the shadows and specular drop-off and everything. So, you know, so once they saw it, they said, that's it. The whole thing's going to be computer graphics. So that was the first big foray into computer-generated creatures at that time.
That's amazing. Steve, without going into every detail of your background, I mean, what was your original training in? Was it a technological background?
Well, no, I was military originally, and then they paid for my education to take, you know, software and animation and simulation, and from that, I kind of became an expert at a certain piece of code, and few people, you know, in the world at that time in the mid to late 80s knew it, so it kind of fell on the radar that way, and there was really no other technical way to solve fluid dynamics back then in the late 80s, and that's why I ended up at ILM on The Abyss.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so, but you are still doing animation, right, Steve?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do, but it's a lot of direct live action now. I really enjoy that. I like working on tractors, you know, welding, blacksmithing, you know, anything where I'm building with my hands, I love. I love building Data, wood, and that's what I try and tell kids. If you want to become proficient in Data, make sure you can build in wood, first of all. And
well, why is that? Why would you say a kid who works on computers should go back to the basics of working in wood?
Well, this is what the problem is with the education system in general, is that kids just do not understand how the real world operates. They think that the real world is Data, and it's not. You know, Data is an outgrowth of the original world. So if you become proficient in wood and steel and blacksmithing and understand how nature operates, then we will actually have changes in the movie industry as opposed to everything that's exactly the same. You know, these kids that are learning about software these days, right, they get confused if you give them a block of wood and a knife. They don't know what to do with it, you know?
So, but let's go back to your developing T-Rex. You didn't have a real animal to play with. So what did you do? You said you went to the bones of the animal. Is that, what did you mean by that?
Well, I figured I'd do it how nature does it. Start with the bones, tendons, muscles, vacuum wrap it, you know, and see what the hell you get. You know, in animation, it really is the study of nature, you know, and the study of how animals move. So I thought...
What are you working on today? What type of project, Steve?
Nothing really right now. I mean, I'm just kind of... I'm semi-retired, I guess. My main project right now is a 1964 Ford heavy industrial tractor. You know.
Well, you know, when I met with you the other night to watch the sporting event, I mentioned to you that I have a science fiction short story I wrote in 1982.
Yeah.
About a future America that's unfortunately become too real.
Right.
I'd love to get together with you and show you the script for that, because it would make a heck of an animation.
Yeah,
It was set in the future, sometime in the future where... Let me give you no, I can't do it on the radio. Someone will rip it off. You know how that works, Steve. There are very few original ideas.
Well, act quickly, Mike, because unfortunately all the VFX jobs are being shipped out of the country, sadly. So.
Yeah, I saw that Lucas sold his company for $5 billion.
Yeah.
Who did he sell it to, Disney?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and then we hear he's retired and he's a gentleman and he's on vacation licking an ice cream cone.
Right.
And then we wake up and I find out he built a huge enterprise in Malaysia. And what would he do that for? For cheaper labor?
Yeah, cheaper labor. And unfortunately, what we had innovated back then at ILM has now been kind of piped out to all these different companies, you know, around the world. And so they can do it for cheaper. And again, it's the old story. All the innovation that was done here has been shipped overseas. It's really sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why are all the visual effects being shipped out of the USA when the industry was invented here? It's just simply for cheaper labor, right?
We have countries like Canada that are giving, like, you know, 50% off for federal subsidies just in order to bring the production there. You know, and the good thing...
Okay, so we'll do my science fiction movie in Canada.
What's that?
We'll do my science fiction movie either in Marin County or in Canada.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, why not? You know, the sad reality is that, back then those were sort of innovations, and we're just kind of all sitting back, you know, on our hands waiting for what the next real visual innovation is going to be.
Steve, did you work with Spielberg on Jurassic Park? Who was it you worked with?
Spielberg, yeah.
I mean, was he in the animation studio while you were developing T-Rex?
No, he was actually in Hawaii shooting the majority of the stuff, and then... Of course, when we were posting the whole thing, I mean, visually, no one could believe what they were seeing. It was a revolution, really, for not only us, but also for Universal at that time. And the funniest thing is that people said it couldn't be done. That's what I loved about it, and that's sort of the American spirit. You know, people always say, oh, you can't do it. And that's what I love about it here is that you always work around and develop a fix to a problem. And that's the difference here than anywhere else that I've ever seen, you know, in any other country.
So... What is the climate today? Are there young people who are actually studying animation?
Yes, there's a lot of young kids that are actually taking computer graphics. As I said, to me, that's where you end up. But a lot of the kids cannot draw anymore. They don't understand, you know, they all have carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, because they're only on computers. So a lot of kids are being developed for an animation industry that kind of only exists in foreign countries, which is strange, you know. You know.
We are speaking with Stephen.
Really,
I just want to tell the audience who we're speaking with. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. We're speaking with Stephen Spaz Williams, who is one of the world's most, let us say, pioneering animators. And he worked on Jurassic Park with T-Rex. He's a new friend of mine, and I was fascinated by his story since it's the 20th anniversary of Jurassic Park. We have time for one quick question, whether you're young or old. On the program, on this issue. Steve, is there anything else you'd like to tell the audience about your world?
It's just, I guess, you know, I would say to people, you know, around, I'd say, just keep your eyes open on everything. Don't concentrate on one thing, you know. Nature is the most interesting thing, and you'll never figure it out, but keep on studying it because it'll help you develop your own identity.
That's interesting you should say it, and I'm looking at the development of modern jets, for example, warplanes, and how much the most advanced warplanes approximate some of the flying creatures that God created. It's amazing to me, the wings, the way they land. I mean, you know, you watch a pelican drop into the bay to get a fish. Aren't there military applications of natural organisms such as that? I'm sure there are.
Well, of course, in terms of stealth, you know, in terms of, you know, paints that are being developed, obviously, by the military are completely stealth, and as are, you know, such as the surfaces of some of the stealth aircraft that we have. And these are completely as a result of the study of the way nature operates. Nature's fascinating, you know.
Is it possible that one day I will see a tank that looks like my 10-pound poodle Teddy?
Well, you might see a tank that you might not see. That's the whole thing.
I like that.
You know?
That's what I like. Stephen Spaz Williams, world-class animator. Thank you very much for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Now we're going to go back to the real sad story of the day, which is the spying scandal, Spygate. People are freaked out. The Independent Counsel says, or Commission says, it's illegal, drop it. And the government comes out and says, no, we're not dropping it. This is a huge story that won't go away. Let's take a couple of quick calls on this. WBAP. Roy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. How you doing?
Quickly. You got to fire away quickly.
I've been trying to expose the Muslim Brotherhood for infiltrating SCADA systems around the country here in the United States.
Which systems?
It's called SCADA. It stands for Supervisory, Control, and Data Acquisition. And
okay, so what's your main point? We know that there are many spies in this country. We understand that. So what is the absolute connection to Spygate?
The NSA, my brother was telling me that the NSA was behind getting these Muslim Brotherhood operators within these systems here in the United States. And he fought them tooth and nail. And they said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. But these same people that were in the IT tech building at SCADA locked the doors during the September 11th attacks and partied all night. When they came out the next morning, they said, death to America, death to America.
Now, where is the SCADA building?
SCADA building is basically at every single water, electric plant, and other industrial plants around the country. And it's a network system. It's a building all to itself that has its own security system. And they're all networked together.
So you're alleging that there's a giant conspiracy, and the NSA is not only spying on the average citizen who is innocent, they're doing far worse than that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I am, because this took over. This operation took over right after Obama was elected, and my brother told me about it, and I said, you're crazy. No way.
And where is your brother today?
Yeah, he's dead.
From what?
From some illness that the doctors could not diagnose. And there was an autopsy done in the same county where he worked at the water department, and they lied through their teeth about the reason for his death because we had a secondary autopsy. And
oh,
they,
boy. Well, now this is getting to be much like a mystery novel, and it's very disturbing, Roy. But since we cannot confirm or deny some of your statements, I have to say to you, I'm sorry, but I can't continue down that line because I don't know whether it's true or false, to be honest. And I think we have enough knowledge of what is true about what's going on to talk about that. So let's talk about what we know. An independent committee is set up to investigate Obama's massive spying on all Americans. They come up and say it's illegal, end it. Within a couple of hours, the Obama administration comes back and says, no, we're not going to end it. It's perfectly legal. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the biggest scandal of our generation, which is Spygate. It greatly dwarfs Watergate. And an independent board that was sent to review NSA surveillance said today that the government should end its mass data collection program and purge its files. Obama snapped back through his spokesmouth and said, it's perfectly legal, we're not going to do that. I have in my hands today's copy of the San Francisco Chronicle. This was once a decent B-level liberal newspaper. It has become a totally useless embarrassment to the world news and paper. Why? Here is the front page of a newspaper on a day like today when the spying scandal is affecting even thoughtful liberals and they don't cover it. Bart defends search. Caltrans try to hide bad wells. Coit Towers dignified upgrade. At gala glamour and glitz, pictures of idiots at a ballet opening. Raiderette, who is suing, saying she wasn't paid enough as a cheerleader. This is the front story of a once a decent liberal newspaper. This is what it's come to. And so, as I said to you, when we lost our fourth estate, we lost America. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation, one of the last outlets for freedom, radio, talk radio, North Dakota. Dan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I'm a PhD mathematician, and I've worked on the same sorts of models the NSA uses to determine relationships between phone calls. I don't like them collecting information any more than you do, but my question is, how can we expect them to protect us if we won't let them? I think it's a very complicated issue.
Well, okay, you raise a very good question that's being used by those who are in favor of the random and massive spying. Well, let's start with why not target the spying at those who might actually harm us rather than going after everyone. It's the same as the TSA. Why do they pull a nun from Minneapolis aside and often, too often, let Muslims through without any secondary screening?
No, I agree. There should be more of that information used to profiling.
Why not use profiling instead of use random searches? Why not use profiling in the methodology? I mean, you're a PhD. You know what it means to collect broad swaths of data. You have to focus it somehow or else it becomes meaningless. There are too many bits of data unless it's focused.
Absolutely. I agree that they should use profiling under many circumstances.
Well, I'll give you an example, Dan. My doctorate's in epidemiology. So what I'm saying to you is, in order to do epidemiology, you have to have a theory. Now, how do you build a theory? You have to have profiling. What was the organism? What was the cause? Well, it's the same with terrorism. We know who's going to hurt us. It's not random. It's not the grandmother from Duluth. It's the savage nation. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes, and I won't give you wall banger.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. The top topic is national security. Welcome to the program. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. There is no bigger issue out there. I'm not interested in some punk pop star who made a fool of himself for publicity in a car that he rented. I'm not interested in Christie's bridge closing. I am telling you that Spygate is the biggest scandal of your lifetime. And I want you to go back in time. Nixon had to leave the presidency for having authorized the spying on only a few individuals in the opposition party. I want you to put this in context. A president was brought down for Watergate. Watergate was nothing compared to what Obama's doing in this country. Nothing. The difference is we have no media to hold the president accountable for the Frankenstein that he has become. He went on last Friday, gave a speech to the president saying he was going to end it. He himself said it. He himself came up because he knows what trouble he's in with his own base. Just remember something. The left fears spying more than the conservatives do because they've got much more to hide. And so they don't want anyone looking into their private lives or their private phone conversations, and rightly so. We live in a free country. If you want to do whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. As long as it's not illegal and you're not hurting children, fine, do it. It's your business. I agree with them. And I'm a sexual libertarian at that, and I've told you that. Don't try to paint me into a corner of what I'm not. Fais ce que voudra. I'm like Rabelais. Just leave the children alone. It's as simple as that. Now, the privacy is the issue here. Civil liberties are the issue here. And the individual task force that was assigned to look into the spying that the NSA has been engaging in released it this afternoon. And they said the program is illegal on several fronts and it should be ended. Ended! Within hours, the Obama administration fires back and says, we disagree, we're going to keep it. So where do you think that puts Obama? Last Friday he said he would end it, now he's saying he won't end it. So as you well know, a sophist says whatever he has to say in order to get his way, and then he goes on his merry way, and then we're left with the rest. So the independent board says, end it. It's illegal. The president sends out his spokesmouth, Carney, who should be imprisoned for this when there's a people's tribunal years from now. There should be a people's tribunal after this administration is through. And people like Carney, who should never, ever, ever gotten up and become the Lenny Riefenstahl for Obama, gets up there and says, we reject the review board finding, it is legal. This government has made the average American into a criminal, where anyone with a brain knows they're being spied on and they watch what they're saying. They have killed free speech in the country. More than that, they're making everyone act like criminals in that everyone's guarded now and hides what they really want to say, even though it's purely innocent. That's my point. Obama has killed the United States' Constitution single-handedly. When I see an independent board comes out and says, the spying is illegal, end it, and a few hours later, the Godfather comes out and sends out his mouthpiece to say, guess what? We reject the review board. We're going to continue to spy. What country are you living in? Tell me what country you're living in, and if you want to live in that country. Why should the average American be turned into a criminal? Why? Okay, 855-407-282. I'm not going to burn myself up over this. We have, in essence, the terrorists have won. The terrorists have won by putting an overt socialist administration in power. It doesn't matter whether Obama walks around with a red beret and has a picture of Lenin on his wall. What are you, stupid? All his policies are socialist slash Leninist. I'll prove it to you policy by policy. I tried to do it with trickle-down tyranny, but apparently it was too much information for the average sports fan out there. Little by little, you'll come to understand that if you read Lenin's own words, you'll see that what we're living through right now is right out of Lenin's words themselves. Shall I read some of them to you? I will later on. I'll tell you what Joseph Stalin said, line by line, and you'll see if we're living through some of the Stalinist regime's worst behaviors, which we're not. We're only in the early stages of some of Stalin's worst behaviors. It starts with a police state that scares everyone into submission. It starts by cowing an entire population. Then once you've got them penned in a corral with fear, then you pick them off one by one for special treatment. That's how a dictatorship emerges. It does not happen overnight. It happens step by step and stage by stage, which is why the independent board tasked with reviewing National Security Agency surveillance today called for the government to end its mass data collection program and purge the files of all the information. They said the program's illegal and a major challenge to President Obama. So what did Obama say? Well, last Friday he said he's going to end government control of phone data. But today his spokesman came out and said, no, we're not going to end it. We like it. It's legal. We enjoy spying on you. We enjoy controlling you. And you can go to hell, basically. I'm boiling it down. They didn't use those words. No one does, except talk show hosts. So these extreme this extreme situation that we find ourselves in is the biggest crisis that I've seen occur in the Obama administration. Why? First of all, there's a silver lining to this. The whole left has turned on him over this. The left wing has turned on him. Now, the right wing has turned on him a long time ago because they knew who he was. Anyone who knew Franklin Marshall Davis and knew his background knew what we were going to get. They knew what we were going to. What do you think was stupid? We didn't know who he was. The mystery man appears, a senator for a brief period. Now all of a sudden, the Manchurian candidate is thrown in there and he's president. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I want to backtrack a bit. I thought about it. We have no opposition team. There is no opposition team. There's no Republican Party. There's no press. There's only the people. And we are the majority, make no mistake about it. We are still the majority. We outnumber those in the government. We outnumber those in the NSA. We outnumber those in the cabal. We outnumber those in the Democrat Party, and yet we are powerless because we are voiceless. It's not as though we are the silent majority. We are the silenced majority. Because the minute any one of us speak up, we're called every name under the sun, which is why President Obama is acting so, oh, so presidential by saying his ratings are falling because of racism, not because his policies themselves have been put onto the ash heap of history because they have failed and because everyone can see through him. They see that his game is just about corruption, and his game is about using liberalism and fairness as a cover for outright robbing the treasury. Not by him, of course. He's not personally gaining from any of this. It's the people who put him where he is, the cronies, and which brings us right back to the outsourcing story I told you about. The fact that Obamacare, which was a giant failure, the website, cost $800 million, created by a friend of the First Lady, allegedly. Well, now they're redoing the website for a $90 million contract. The lead contractor is a company called Accenture, and they're using offshore workers, shall I say, foreign workers, tech workers, on H-1B visas because they work for 25% less than the prevailing wage for a similar U.S. citizen worker. That is why Mark Zuckerface, Mr. Undershirt, is marching like the idealist for immigration reform. It's not for immigration reform. It's for H-1B visas, in my opinion. That's all it's about. He wants H-1B visas by the thousands so he can make even more billions. You idiots, you. And you think it's about immigration reform? It's about the bottom line, the bottom line, the bottom line. So when you see that liberalism is nothing but a masquerade for cronyism or vulture capitalism, you'll come to understand why so many Americans like myself aren't disgusted by the big lie. And let me say something else. If Barack Obama were just an honest liberal and lived a quiet life and didn't abuse the taxpayer and didn't abuse his position of power and didn't abuse the Treasury with his many trips and his royal lifestyle, I think many of us could have lived with him. But he's not any of those things. He's a demagogue in that regard. A demagogue is a very dangerous individual to have in the White House. And that's why many of us are outraged. I want to remind you that when I was a young social worker in New York City, and a young liberal at that, because if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart, and if you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind, as we all know. I was a liberal at 20, because I didn't know any better. And I believed a lot of the rubbish that was being dished out to us. That's what they do, is they capitalize on the youth, which is how Obama has hooked the youth into buying into Obamacare. Now they find out that they bought a bill of goods that they have to pay for. And they thought there was such a thing as a free lunch or, let's say, a free Band-Aid. No, no, you're paying for the Band-Aids of others, like illegal aliens, your grandmother, et cetera. But you're actually going to pay much more than your grandmother and illegal aliens who are paying nothing. Why do you think the poor are signing up for Obamacare? Wouldn't you? If you could get something for nothing, if you can get insurance when no one wants to give it to you because they'll go broke if they do, wouldn't you be glad if the young pot-smoking moron would pay for it? Sure. You're paying for the spying as well. You're paying for all of it because you're the young and the impressionable. Just this weekend, Obama bellyached that it was racism that has driven his poll numbers down. Obama says racial animus blunts his approval, New Yorker reports. Racial tensions have softened his popularity among white voters within the last 2 years. I don't think they teach logic and scientific method in schools anymore. I think they just teach groupthink. So the whites who elected him in 08 and 2012 are suddenly racist? But now that his policies have been seen for what they are, and the cronyism and vulture capitalists around him, who have never done better, are doing better than ever, America is still a land of opportunity and a land of opportunists. Think about that one. America is still a land of opportunity and a land of opportunists. I'll let you decide who's running the country. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Spygate is the biggest story of your lifetime. There's nothing bigger. If we lived in a legitimate government, he would resign. Do you know that? Do you know that if, let's say many of you liberals always look to Europe as a model for reasons I don't understand. You think it's so sophisticated, I guess. I suppose you like their cheese and their wine and the free the inexpensive prostitution in the windows. I suppose that's what you consider the model. So you'd like us to be more like Europe. Do you realize that if a leader of a European nation was engaged in a scandal as vast as Spygate, the government would fall the next day and there'd be new elections? Do you realize that? There'd be calls for his resignation. So why don't you be European about it and recognize what's going on in your own country, I ask myself over and over again. The answer is there's no media here. None. It's gone. By and large, there's no media. The Fourth Estate is gone. It's become the fifth column. How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? We lost the country when the Fourth Estate became the fifth column. I will tell you that this independent council, which is what it is, it's an independent board. It was pretty quick, by the way. I'm very surprised. They said end it. But even Republicans are defending the NSA, and they're attacking the report. Mike Rogers, Republican in Michigan, defender of the NSA, said he's disappointed that they say we should end it. So don't think it's just a partisan thing where only a Democrat liberals want to keep the program going. Lord Acton, not Lord Haw-Haw. I'm a follower of Lord Acton. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. I dedicated a novel to that title, Abuse of Power, Jack Hatfield. Many of you read the novel. I'm working on the third novel in the series right now. It's exhausting me. Second novel was A Time for War, for the new listeners who don't know what I've done. But Abuse of Power was a thriller that was a bestseller just two years ago. Big book, fabulous book, New York Times best-selling book. You wouldn't know it because the liberals have made believe I don't exist as they used to do in the Soviet Union. But I knock out one bestseller after another. How is that possible? I guess people read my books. I guess they don't care what the liberal media says. So the point is, I know what's going on. I've tried to alert you, both through fiction and nonfiction, and through my radio broadcasts. What do I do this show for? I even ask myself that every morning and every evening. I don't know whether it's healthy or not. I ask myself, why am I in this business at this stage of my life? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it solely for the financial gains? The answer is absolutely and totally not. No. Number two, why am I doing it then? For the acclaim and the fame? Yes. As Paul said, all is vanity. So I have to admit, I'm a human being. There's a tremendous amount of vanity tied in with being a major figure in the media. But that's not the real reason. That's not the motivating reason. I could live without the vanity. I've had enough of it. I don't need it anymore. I don't need to make a bigger fool of myself than I already have in some regard. I could also withdraw and never be heard from again. But there's another reason that you know, pushes me, and that's a day like today. A day like today, you have to understand how important this show really is. Spygate would normally force a president to come out and say, I can no longer sustain this office. I no longer have the support of the people. I'm ashamed for what my own government has done, and I'm stepping down. That's what would happen in a sane country. Do you think that will happen tomorrow? No. You're going to hear more PR, more of a spin, and more entertainment and sports than you ever heard before. Beware the government media complex. The findings of the review board can be used as leverage in federal lawsuits against NSA spying. Why? Because the report concluded that the NSA collection raises constitutional concerns with the U.S. Citizens' Right of Speech Association and Privacy. The findings in this from this panel, no matter what the administration says, can be used as leverage in federal lawsuits against NSA spying. The thing to do here is to fund a million federal lawsuits against the Obama administration and against the NSA. 1 million lawsuits would be the end of this. 1 million lawsuits would end this overnight. Now, we're not saying that we don't want them to spy on those who might harm us, but they're not spying on them, are they? Why are they directing it at the average American, the nun from Minneapolis, the grandmother who was frisked at the airport, and they let the Muslims sweep right through? We know that's a fact. The Muslim Brotherhood itself was given priority clearance. We reported on that the other day. So if they were to direct their intelligence at those who might actually harm us, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But they didn't. Look at the Boston Marathon bombing. The Tsarnaev brothers were in their sight, yet they let them bomb. Why is that? Can you figure that one out? Why did they let the Muslims, Tsarnaev brothers, who were plotting this, they claimed that they were following them, why did they let them set off the bombs? Who were those men with those black backpacks in the video that's been swept under the rug? Who were they with antennas in their ears? Do you remember that? Do you remember the video of the bombing, which has been disappeared from the media? Everyone's forgotten it. They've gone on to the next game. Why has Major Nadal Hassan not been executed? He committed these murders in 2009. Who's protecting him? Who in the Justice Department is protecting Nadal Hassan? Who are they answering to? Why has this man not been found guilty and executed? Who has been delaying this trial and why? We don't have answers, do we? Well, we have the questions, and that's all we have. Are the questions, not the answers. Because if we had a legitimate opposition party, they would be the ones holding the hearings and they'd get to the bottom of it, and they would demand that there be changes right now to the NSA program.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Beautiful music. I mean, the reason I want you to listen to some Cuban music is you may as well get used to it. You know, get used to 50s cars. Well, we'll get stuck with 2000-era cars. You'll be playing chess and checkers. You'll have no guns. You'll get free sugarcane, free tobacco from the government. There'll be no gasoline to speak of. You'll get a green coupon that you can use to drive your sewing machine so you can make flags for the new regime. It's crazy. You have no idea what can happen to this country under this ruling junta where there's government anarchy. You say it can't happen here. It is happening here, Schmen. Who was the guy who said that he destroyed Western civilization? Jerry Springer said it. I destroyed Western civilization. I think he has it right. He actually introduced the insanity of reality television. He destroyed Western civilization. I don't believe what I watch at night on TV. I'm getting crazy from it. Between mob wives who look like half the children in the schools in New York City, to one show after the other, the lower the common denominator, the more popular the show. So each race is debased by a particular reality show. You know, no, think about it. Each race is debased by a particular reality show. Like the Italian people are debased by Jersey Shore and or Mob Wives. This is another show that debases the Italian people and the Italian experience in America. Totally debases it. From Vesuvio Americas to a mob girl from Passaic. Unbelievable to me. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Always a fun experience here. I don't know what's coming next. Nevertheless, each race is debased by a certain reality show. So then you have, I would say the Irish are debased by that jerk from Hawaii with the long hair, whose wife was fat and went on a diet. That fake guy who runs after, you know, felons. Who was that guy in Hawaii? That was one of the most nauseating shows ever done. Dog the Bounty Hunter? I would more or less say that debases the Irish people. I don't know his exact ethnicity. So then we don't have a Jewish show yet that shows, well, then the Iranians are here, and someone told me that's a great show. And I'm talking about someone with 180 IQ said, you got to watch the Shahs of Beverly Hills. I said, why? She said, it's hysterical to see how they debase the Iranian people just by their activities, that they're more grotesquely exhibitionist bourgeois than the worst Brooklynite of the 1950s. I don't even know when it's on. So each race has a certain reality show that debases it now, all because of Jerry Springer. There's not one yet debasing the Jewish people that I can think of. White House rejected a review board finding that the NSA data sweep is illegal. You have any idea the magnitude of this story? The spokesmouth for Obama, none other than the Stalinist spokesmouth, came out and said, we disagree with the board's analysis on the legality of the program, according to Press Secretary Jay Carney, who should be eternally damned for what he said today. This man would have been happy working for one of the dictators in the last century. The president sends out his spokesmouth, Carney, who should be imprisoned for this when there's a people's tribunal years from now. There should be a people's tribunal after this administration is through. And people like Carney, who should never, ever, have ever gotten up and become the Lenny Riefenstahl for Obama, gets up there and says, we reject the review board finding. It is legal. We are talking about the ruling junta in the White House, of course. Obama is using the worst, not the best, of our times. Fact is that the president, unfortunately, as his ratings plummet because of his policies, not because of his race, is reverting to the meanest part of his soul and trying to have us believe that it's race that has his ratings plummeting, not his policies. He had the nerve to give an interview to the New Yorker magazine where he said that there's no doubt that there's some folks who just really dislike me because they don't like the idea of a black president. So the question that comes to mind, if you have the capacity to reason, is, so whites just discovered that he's biracial now? You mean they didn't know that in 08 and 012 when they elected him? Now they've gone from being colorblind now to just blind? And now they're pure racialist? It's unbelievable to me how he's doing this, but he's not alone. They're all doing it. Cuomo, the governor of New York, says conservatives have no place in New York State. In New York City, the Sandinista-loving mayor is enacting the dreams of Fidel Castro. Conservative Republicans have no place in New York State with their right-wing views because, quote, that's not what New Yorkers are, said Governor Andrew Cuomo. He said anyone who believes in the right to life or is pro-assault weapons or anti-gay, if that's who they have no place in the state of New York because that's not who New Yorkers are. Well, Mussolini thought that way, so we've gone from Mussolini to Cuomo in a very short period of time. Many people on the left don't even understand that Obama is surrounded by the most extremely dangerous left-wingers imaginable who are now occupying positions of extreme authority in this country. It may not be Obama himself, but the people that he brought around him or who were put around him are destroying us. So Obama understands mass movements. He's a smart fellow. He studied them. He knows that from Moses to Pol Pot, from Moses to Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, there were mass movements. Moses was an inciter of mobs, when you think about it. I mean, we put him up on a platform, but Moses knew how to sell a crowd an idea. He saw how to do that. He knew how to do that. He knew how to get the masses to listen to him. Moses said that he heard God, and the masses listened to him. Whether he heard God or not, we'll never know. I wasn't there. You have a right to believe or not to believe. I choose to believe. I'm not telling you whether to believe or not to believe, because at the end of the day, you'll be screaming like everyone else in the last days of your life. You'll be begging God to either put you out of your misery or save you. So it doesn't matter what you think right now in the prime of your life. You'll be a screaming mess like an infant at the end, with illegal aliens having to clean you up. It's horrible. And once you understand that even the power mad are in the same, trapped in the same. This is interesting to me. See, we're all here at the same time on Earth. Obama, you, me, whoever you are listening to this show. I know this sounds trite to some and profound to others, but I'll continue the line of thought. We're all alive at the same time through the course of evolution and through the course of human history. We're sharing something together. We're on the same planet at the same time, which is pretty miraculous. In that sense, we have a lot in common, incidentally, whether you know it or not. And to vilify our political enemies, and I'm guilty of it like everyone else, I don't think it's going to get us where we want to go. It's almost as though you have to dance with them and embrace them in order to show the people the dark side of the dancing partner. Because if you continue to point and say, he's different, he's no good, he's bad, he's this, okay, yeah, you're going to win some converts that way. But if you embrace the enemy and dance with the enemy, the people are going to come to see how out of step the enemy really is, that he's not dancing with America. And that's one thought that I have today. But hatred is a unifying agent for all politicians. Why does hatred work? Why does it work for Obama to teach you, the Obamaites, to hate the rich? When in fact it's the rich who put him in power and keep him in power, the bankers, for example, who broke the economy, manipulated it. I pointed it out in my genius book, Trickle Up Poverty, and many of you saw the truth of that book. It was a heck of a book. Then Trickle Down Tyranny, I showed you what he was going to do with that power. Many of you saw that truth. But he used hatred while making believe he was not using hatred. See, the old-time fire and brimstone dictators used hatred and showed you they were full of hate, like Hitler. When you say dictator, you say Hitler. Screaming, yelling, fuming hatred. That wouldn't work today. You can't move a mass movement in America with hatred. It will not work. Impossible. So what you do is you trick them. You make believe you're a nice guy when you're seething with hate. Seething with hatred. It comes out every once in a while, like Mrs. Obama saying, for the first time in my life, I love America, when her husband was elected. So he hates the rich, and the rich put him in power. Now, it makes you think that he hates gun owners when he's surrounded by gun owners who protect him. Then he hates polluters. Who doesn't hate a polluter? But he makes you think that anyone who doesn't vote for the insanity of the fake insanity of the green liars is a polluter, when we're not. And then he makes you think that he has the voice of God in his ears, although God is a dirty word, so he doesn't say it's God. He has the voice of Gaia in his ears. And then he harnesses the masses, and he harnesses them, and he can sweep away empires. He can sweep away armies, all because he is the all-powerful. That's a mass movement. What's interesting to me is that Obama has eliminated the external enemy. All dictators that I've studied have unified the people through a foreign enemy. Obama has made domestic enemies his number one priority. This is very dangerous. If you look back in American history since World War II, we've had foreign enemies. In the Korean time, it was the North Koreans. Rightly so. It's a dictatorial starvation regime. Vietnam, it was the Vietnamese. Rightly or wrongly, they were our enemy. At least that's what we thought. So now, we no longer have the Soviet Union, the Russians, as an enemy. Now we don't have the Chinese as an enemy. So what unifying agent of hatred is Obama and the nuts who surround them using? You. You. For the first time in post-World War II history, we no longer have a foreign enemy. Instead, we have a government that has made the American people, the enemy. But which American people? Those of you who listen to the Savage Nation are the enemy of this government. You are the rich. You own guns. You're probably mainly white people, and you're a polluter. So you are the enemy of the Obama vision for the future of the world, and he has you in his sights. See, that's what I really wanted to talk about. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, the big story of the day is Spygate. An independent committee was set out to investigate Spygate, and they said, it's illegal. End it. It's unconstitutional. End it. The findings of this committee is that federal lawsuits can be waged against the NSA for spying on ordinary citizens who've committed no crimes. Within hours, the White House comes out and it says, we reject that view. We like the NSA data sweep, and we're going to keep it, according to White House Press Secretary Jay Carney Barker. Do we have Jay Carney Barker speaking at all? Yes, we do. Play Jay Carney bark, just so they know what I'm talking about on the show right now.
We simply disagree with the board's analysis on the legality of the program, consistent with the recent holdings of the United States District Courts for the Southern District of New York and Southern District of California.
Right, so they're going back to basics. They're going back to their original position, which is they have the right to spy on innocent people. Now, that's despite the fact that the independent review board, both liberals and conservatives, came out with a scathing attack saying that the NSA's spying on you, moron. Listen, no matter, even if you're stupid listening to this show, even if you can't comprehend anything about anything, and you're only listening to me to try to bash me because you're too stupid to understand that I'm actually on your side, they're spying on you as well. And the review board said it's illegal. It should be ended. Yet the administration said drop dead to the review board today. Now, this follows Obama giving a mea culpa last Friday, pretending he was actually going to end the program. We knew what he was just, you know, responding to the fact that the whole left has pulled their support out from under him. And Democrats are now bailing from the sinking ship. And so he tried to shore up the support of the ignorant and the uneducated out there. And I suppose many of them went for the bait. And now today we find out they don't intend to stop spying on us. Watergate. President Nixon was forced to resign because of Watergate. What was Watergate? Spying on a few Democrats. A few. Well, here you have a president spying on hundreds of millions of us. That's not the same thing. Why? Well, this has a higher purpose. Higher purpose is to keep us safe. Nixon had no higher purpose, and he was a Republican, and he was a white male. So therefore, his spying was bad, and Obama's is good. You get how that works? You understand the danger you're in? 855-400-7282. There's so much other news I haven't even touched. From snow removal that wasn't in New York, under the Sandinista who runs New York now, where he didn't plow certain streets because there were neighborhoods that didn't vote for him. This is amazing to me. This is truly amazing. John Kerry speaking out to starting a bigger war in Syria, wanting to remove Assad from power, knowing full well Russia will not tolerate that, and it could only lead to let's say, a confrontation with Russia. You have to eclipse three because Kerry's getting, as power mad as Obama may be, Kerry may be in a class by himself. Listen to clip three.
You cannot have peace. You cannot have stability. You cannot restore Syria. You cannot save Syria from disintegration as long as Bashar Assad remains in power.
So what is he asking for, a war? What does he want, war against Syria? Does he want bombs away? Is that what old Kerry wants? The anti-war Vietnam-era swift boat guy? I mean, he just swift boated himself. He's given up his entire position as a peace-loving man. He wants more war. And then I don't think they're going to leave so fast just because Kerry says they should leave. Listen to a spokesman for Assad in clip four.
Does John Kerry say to Bashar Assad, you can't save Syria, you can't stay in Syria? Can we do that to your democratic country, ask your president and to be there and not to save his country and not to be in power? Is it John Kerry who should say that? Or is it up to the Syrian people to decide who should be their president?
Yeah, I think it should be up to the Syrian people, by the way. I don't think we have a very fine democracy here anymore with the spying scandal. And then the shock to those of you who bought Obama's lie that they did a deal with Iran where they said that they were going to take down their nuclear centrifuges. They said we did not agree to anything. Nothing. Listen to clip six. It's amazing to me.
The White House version both underplays the concessions and overplays Iranian commitments. And I'm not interested in that.
So in other words, Obama and his minions lied to us about the deal with Iran. It's as we thought. Iran has no pressure on them to give up their march towards an atomic weapon. Let's see what else is on michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the bottom of the page and see what's down there. Go to the bottom left and sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter. You just click there and it arrives in your inbox a couple of times a week. Also, if you like the Savage Nation and you're a new listener, can I suggest you go to a bookstore and pick up my new paperback, my autobiography called Train Tracks, full of pictures of me as a weightlifting boy, wearing dead man's pants, etc. Train Tracks. Oh, my God, speaking of trains, here comes the train. Gotta go. Bye.
Savage.